Here it is. This shit is live.
All right.
Let's do it.
We're live. We're live. What's happening, people? This is going to be episode one. Doing a little throwback here. Run R&B podcast. Anyone who grew up around the Golden State Warrior days, when Timmy and Chris and Mitch were laying it down. Now you got myself, Rube. You got Vessi over here on one side. You got my homie, Neil. In the middle. How you doing, guys? It's been a minute.
Yeah, man. Good to be back podding on the basketball tip. We did a couple of these a few years ago, but what a great season. We will can't wait to get into it, do a quick wrap, and then get into this playoff preview. I can't wait to chop it up on the basketball tip. Neil and I used to do in the soccer tip, so switching gears here.
Yeah, and it's funny too because we have made no bones about it on the soccer pod, the False Nine. You can find us on Instagram. But we always say basketball is our favorite sport. Like, just if someone would just give us a chance to talk about basketball, we can do that shit.
Yep,
that's what we're gonna do. So regular season obviously just finished yesterday. There was a bunch of stuff that was happening, especially on the West, for the Western Conference, you know, some jigging around for the first seed with OKC. You know, let's just quickly take, you know what, before we jump into that, let's kind of give a shout out to what this year was for basketball, not only on the pro level, but on the college men's level, especially in the women's game. Let's just quickly, I want to do quickly, jump to the college game and just the women's game. It was the first time in many years that I kind of, you know, tuned in and saw some of the women's tournament. And man, I love where the women's game is going. It was exciting. I watched a bunch of games from Caitlin to Angel to Paige, Juju. They had all the kind of characters there. What were your guys' thoughts on women's college ball this year?
It's great to see the glow up. I mean, it's getting more eyeballs, better ratings than the men's side, which is just great to see. And yeah, obviously the Caitlin Clark mania struck south of the border. You know, the hometown Iowa girl with the Hawkeyes there hitting Steph Curry threes from the logo. What a sensation that was. And yeah, shouts to Dawn Staley and that incredible program she built undefeated at South Carolina. Just too much size, too much depth in the national championship game. And yeah, I think 38-0 to win the national championship for the Gamecocks.
I think they're like 116-3 or something outlandish over the last like three seasons or something. Like, it's crazy. And that UConn-Iowa game was one of the best games I saw anywhere all year.
Yeah, Paige and Caitlin going toe-to-toe. Very similar games too, right? Just kind of like do everything guards who can hit it from anywhere.
Well, if y'all remember, Paige maybe should have been Caitlin before she tore her ACL. Like, she was that girl, and then she tore her ACL, and Caitlin was like, well, let me take this spot. And it was great, and it'll be great to see them in the W. Well, Caitlin, I think she's a couple hours from being drafted number one by Indiana. If they take somebody else, it's going to be a wild night on Twitter. just a bunch of people calling them stupid, because like, she's obviously the number one pick. But yeah, I know the glow up. I watched more of the women's tournament than I did of the men's. The men's tournament was fine. UConn was a juggernaut. No one was beating them. Like, they were just, you know, they were just so dialed in as a team. When they wanted to put the clamps on you, they could. When they wanted to outscore you, they would. Just basically, they just did whatever they wanted to do. They've got some losses come back next year, but the women's game is in very good hands, and Paige will be back next year. Juju Watkins from USC is going to be back. Now you've got, like, you know, a whole group of high school girls, junior high girls who are like, yo, there's a pathway for me to be able to do this professionally and make some good money. So, you know, I think we're really going to start seeing the Caitlin effect in like you know, 3 to 5 years. But
and that's what's great is that like the high ratings mean more advertising dollars, which means more eyeballs, which means once these ladies get to the WNBA, salaries go up. Let's start paying millions of dollars to these people who deserve it. Because you know, if people are watching, then they deserve to be compensated fairly.
There's some awful NBA players that they're making way more money than they should be. So give that to the ladies.
There's definitely some guys in the league that are getting overpaid.
I'm looking at you, Zach Collins, making $20 million a year, and I don't even know where you play.
Grayson Allen got paid today. I don't know if y'all see that came across the wire. 4 years, $70 million from Phoenix. Obviously, I think led the NBA in 3-point percentage this year.
Yeah, around 46%.
The once hated, it's crazy the how analogous he is to JJ Redick, right? Hated at Duke, comes into the league and making a name for himself. He settled in there as kind of the fourth wheel in Phoenix.
He hasn't even done anything dirty yet this year, I don't think. Maybe.
I don't remember anything. Yeah, he used to be known for, especially when he's at Memphis, throwing the little sneaky elbows in the ribs.
Yeah, and he hurt Alex Caruso last year, I believe. Like pulled his arm out of socket or something. Like, yeah. So I think he maybe got to Phoenix and they were like, yeah, just don't do that, and we'll hook you up.
Yep.
Grayson Allen, he getting paid, eh? Another Duke boy getting paid. All right.
Yeah. These guys. Although it was funny to see them collapse in the tournament. I don't know why people thought Filipowski was going to carry them to a title. Like, he's not good. He's a good college player, but, like, he's not. Like,
what's I don't see said? Him coming to the next level, nah. Maybe no. Second rounder or something.
Oh, no. He's going to be playing in Belgium within, like, 3 months.
Yeah. So Rube, what do you think? The NBA tip? What do you want to do? A wrap on some of the year end awards and
yeah, let's you know, again, it was such a crazy year. Let's talk, you know, I guess let's talk first. Let's look at the MVP. MVP award. I know, you know, we've got some guys, Shai, Luka, Joker. Anyone else we're going to throw in there that maybe have a list? I think we know it's probably maybe going to go to Joker, but what are your guys' thoughts on this? You know what? This tight MVP race. I know people think that it's not tight, but numbers-wise, you know, Joker's got the team, obviously, and he's got Joker numbers. But, I mean, you know, Luka and Shai, especially Shai for what he's doing at OKC and how young those guys are.
Yeah, I mean, like, they all have fantastic cases. I think when it comes down to voting, I think Jokic is going to run away with it. I mean, I saw a stat today, he played the most minutes he's ever played across an NBA season this year. He leads all the advanced stats, you know, like value above replacement player, PER per minute, like all the, like, counting, you know, not the counting stats, the, like, the all-encompassing stats, he's like way out front in most of those. And if you just watch him play, I mean, he's such a joy to watch. I mean, just like controls the game from the top of the key as a 7-footer, eyes on the back of his head. You know, he's got such great chemistry with that team, you know, Jamal Murray in the pick and roll, Aaron Gordon cutting off the ball. Aaron Gordon fits so well as the third guy there now, such a great defender, can defend anywhere from the 1 to the 5. And yeah, Joker just is like the orchestrator of all that. The counting stats are super impressive too. So I think when it comes down to, it is a close race, like as far as, you know, everybody's got a good case, but I think when it comes down to the voting and you see from the media votes, I think it's going to probably be mostly first place votes for Joker.
For Joker. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And let's just, you know, one time for Joel Embiid, because he was probably leading the race before he got hurt. And he was putting up like 30 point double doubles. Like he had like 16 games in a row or something crazy. But, you know, it's got to be Jokic. He's just, like you said, he's so much fun to watch. That team isn't where they are without him. Like, he's made Aaron Gordon was kind of getting ready to get thrown on the scrap heap before he went on Denver. And Jokic was like, yo, just cut. Just cut and I'll find you. And he cuts. And, yeah, I'm just going to Joker, 26.4 points, 12.4 rebounds, 9 assists, shooting 58%, 36 from three, which I don't like him shooting threes, but he can do it if he needs to, and 82% from the foul line. So, you know, he just does it all. I think that, you know, Shea and Luka have good cases, but it's probably Joker again.
Yeah, I think Luka is would be my runner-up. He's the difficulty of shots that he hits at a high percentage is what's so crazy about Luka, right? Like, the step backs, the, like, 28-foot step backs that he's hitting at, like, fucking 40% almost this year, like, it's so wild. And, like, Kyrie...
He hit a 20-foot finger roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
I would have Luka, too, and, you know, it's such a good passer, too. Great chemistry with Kyrie. They got those two guys to dive to the rim, right? Lively, the rookie, and they got Gafford in the trade from Washington. And that's worked out really well for a nice light season push for the Mavericks. So I'd have Luka second. And obviously, we're all Canadian cats here. What a glow up for Canadian basketball recently. Record number of Canadians in the league. And of course, led by SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander out of Hamilton. Just like unbelievable herky jerky slow YMCA game. Just so fun to watch. You can't stop him. Can stop on a dime. Leads the league in steals also. So yeah, that's the top three. And then yeah, there's a bunch of other good candidates too. Giannis, one of the best. Jalen Brunson, Jason Tatum. So there's any of those guys are also in the conversation. Like, the league is, I'm just to say, it's great to talk basketball with y'all because, like, the league has never been healthier. The talent is, it is wild how many good players there are right now.
Yeah. Like, even if you put, like, a team like, I don't know, pick, like, Detroit kind of stink as a whole, but, like, they've got a few players that you're like, if they could be on a better team or someone in Detroit could get, like, their act together, they could be good. However, Monty Williams is stealing money. Oh, speaking of stealing money,
he's the highest paid coach in the league.
Yeah, and we all love Monty. Monty seems like a nice guy. He had some tragedy in his life, and that's all fine and good. Everybody, it is still good to say that he is not doing a good job.
Yeah,
say that. So,
MVP wise, I think it's a wrap. But yeah, lots of great cases.
Nice. I like it. Let's flip over. I think really the conversation is only between two guys here. Defensive player of the year. I think it's Gobert or Wemby. Obviously, you know, Wemby, the Spurs are terrible. But I think there's no denying the absolute force that he is as a rim protector, how he changes the game with people coming to the hole, coming downhill. We obviously know what Gobert has done over his career. You know, he gets it done as a defensive player. Your guys, like, what do you guys think? Is this Gobert's last run, as we think, to get that DP defensive player of the year? And is this Wemby's to lose, I guess, for the next 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, I guess I'll take it. I think you got it right on the nailed right on the head there. I think Gobert is going to win it this year. Minnesota are the best defensive team in the NBA. He anchors that defense, not just from a rim protecting standpoint, but orchestrates it from the middle. Kind of does the Kevin Garnett thing, another former Timberwolf. He can recover off help. And that team is just really good defensively. What a joy Anthony Edwards has been to watch this year. He's also great at both ends. Carl Anthony Towns is back and healthy to start the playoffs now. So I think Gobert's going to take it. If I was voting, I would vote for Wemby right now. Yeah. I'd vote for him this year. I've never seen anything like this. This is insane. Because he's a better perimeter defender. Like, you put Gobert out on the three-point line, he's on skates. You put Wemby on the three-point line, and he's getting down in a stance and guarding guards like a guard. It's friggin' wild. And like, as you said, you know, 8 foot wingspan, 7 foot four. And also, like, I know Ruben, you shared a video in the group chat the other day, like pulling sham gods, like could like dribble behind his back and through his legs, and like he's a great passer. Straight up, he's gonna be in the MVP conversation sooner than later. So yeah, I will vote Wemby, but I think it's going to Gobert.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. And like, look, man, I've watched a lot of the Spurs this year. I think we should come up with like this app where that tells you when he's checked out and when he checks in. Because sometimes I'll forget and I'll look down at the Spurs and be like, who are these bums playing? Because he's not there. But when he comes back in, like he changes the entire I don't know if any player changes more, like people drive to the lane, they look up and they're like, oh no, I want no parts of that, and pass it back out or dribble out to the 3-point line. And then you can try a 3-pointer. He might block that too, because his wingspan up 8 feet. I don't know about that, bro. That's something like nine. Like, it's nuts when he stretches. He treats guys that we look at as like a large human being. He looks at them like children, just like, get that out of here. Like, just yoink it out of the air, man. Like, so I would vote, you know, I would vote Wemby. It's probably going to go to, Gobert. And again, like, there's not a lot of defense on that team outside of him. You know, Karl Anthony Towns doesn't really play defense anymore. Naz Reid does. Anthony Edwards can do it, but, you know, they're also asking him to score 30 a game. So I get that he doesn't want to do it all the time, so he is anchoring that. But you know, hold on to that for this year, Rudy, because you know, when Vic's averaging 5 blocks a year next year, there's not really going to be anything that you can do about it. Like, since the All-Star break, 23.5 points, 12 rebounds, 5.3 assists, 4.5 blocks.
Yeah, and he's averaged. In the last, like, third of the season, if you, like, the later you get in the season, the more incredible his stats become, too. He's, like, really finding his feet late in the season. Like, I think he's averaging over five blocks a game the last, like, 10 games or something.
Last five games of the season, he's averaging 5.6 blocks a game.
Like, what?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Exactly. He's totally, he's like an, as you know, everybody calls him an alien. Nike dropped his logo for his brand for his Nike contract, and it's an alien, right? Yeah. Very appropriate. Because, yeah, I mean, nobody's ever seen anything like – I mean, obviously the hyperbole, if anybody watches basketball, probably getting tired of hearing about this cat, but, like, it's for real, man. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy. It's a 7'5 guy with guard skills.
Just please stay healthy. Please. The only thing that's stopping him from being an absolute star probably next year is getting hurt. Also Spurs, like, get him some help. Like, you were using, like, the Jeremy Sochan point guard thing was trash. And I like Trey Jones, I think that's what his name is. He's fine.
Yeah, he's a good backup. Vassell's all right, you know, but more of an off guard. I think, Neil, you were telling us earlier, you had a great trade with Darius Garland. Get Darius Garland in there. I think that'd be a perfect pairing. He can score. He can pass. Run pick and rolls with Wemby. You know, that makes sense. There's been a lot of Trae Young talk. Trae Young to the Spurs.
I don't like Trae. I think Trae is still going to throw up a bunch of bullshit when he should just be throwing it up to Victor. Like, yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen Vic running down the lane and just like everybody like, let's just pass it out to the wing or what. Just throw it up high. Just throw it up higher than everybody else. And he's going to go get it or at least get fouled. Like, think about this. Like, just throw it up. So anyway, yes, Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year. Wemby, it's going to be his for the next like 8 to 10 years if he doesn't stay. Because even like when he gets older and won't be able to move as much, he's still going to be 7'5".
Yep. What do you think most improved? Like, we got Maxey in the conversation. Went from good to extremely good. Obviously, we had Embiid out for a long time. And he was scoring over like 27 a game, I think, when Embiid was out. Kobe White, Bulls, came out of nowhere to have a fantastic season for Chicago.
But North Carolina. Alum.
Yeah, North Carolina. We got a Tar Heel fan on the hosting here.
What's the dude? Is there a, what's the kid's name? Is he from OKC?
Jalen Williams.
There you go. Jaylen I was Williams. Like, who's the?
He's in the conversation too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's my pick. That's my pick because I've heard people talking about how good he is, and I'm like, yeah, like I don't know. I like OKC, and they've got some great players. Not really the most exciting team to watch in the world, so I haven't watched a whole ton of them. But he's the player, even more than Shea and even more than Chet, who jumps off the screen for me. He is awesome at both ends. He's now got like a shot. I would take him even just for the odds. I would probably take him because Maxey's the runaway favorite right now. Kobe White, yeah, came out of nowhere, but I would take Jalen Williams, especially doing it on a team that's number one in the West, the bloodbath that is the West.
I like it. Anything else we want to talk? You know what? I guess, well, we can talk about them when we get into the preview. What else we want to talk about that happened?
Coach of the Year has already been decided. So Mark Daniel from OKC, he won it today.
Oh. Huh. Good to know. Didn't see that come across the wire. Well-deserved.
Stuff. Yeah.
I like his offense.
And they were what? Like they
custom,
were...
Custom makes his offense to the personnel.
He does. And, man, they were... So what? They last... Last playoff, they were in the playoffs last, I think, in 2020 against, I think they went, I think first round exit to the Rockets, I think in 2020. Then they missed the playoffs the next 3 years. Obviously, you know, the wins, I think after that playoff run, they were maybe mid-20s, and then they kind of jumped up. But, yeah, well-deserved. He's taken that team, again, within the last 4 years from a playoff exit and then three misses to the first in the West with a team of starters that's under the age of 24, I believe. Well, good for him. Good for OKC.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the preview. I'm going to do this for a second. Part two, I guess. This will get broken up. We'll see how it is. Part one, we'll call it the little preview. Overview of the NBA, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, MIP, some stuff that we talked about there. Now we're going to dig into the actual the playoffs. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about top-seeded, the Boston, mighty, mighty, mighty Boston Celtics, who ran through teams this year. Thoughts on the Celtics? What do they look like? How do you feel? Is this their year? Can they make a run? Best start.
I mean, until they show me they can do it in the playoffs, they are yet. I mean, one of the great historic regular seasons of all time this season. One of the best point differentials. So good on defense. You know, seamlessly worked in Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. Who really help on both ends. Obviously, Jason Tatum, an MVP candidate. Jaylen Brown had some like incredible stretches during the season where he kind of takes over the main offensive burden. They're so deep. One of the best starting lineups in the league. So they really have no weaknesses, but, you know, they've been good for a long time and they've made deep runs the last number of seasons. And so, you know, and their clutch stats aren't great. You know, Jason Tatum's clutch stats. And, you know, when the game slows down in the playoffs, you know, they don't run the nicest stuff in the last 2 minutes of games, I've noticed, still, even with that incredible season this season. So I probably am going to pick them to come out of the East, but I have a lot of reservations.
I'm going to preface all of this by saying – I absolutely hate Boston.
Yes, fuck the Celtics.
I hate the Celtics. I hate the Bruins. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Marathon. I hate... You want to know what? I've grown to like Bill Simmons. That's really the only thing that's come out. I hate that Halifax sends this bullshit-ass tree to them every Christmas. So, this preface by all of this is saying, I hope this doesn't come off as hate. I think this is the most... underwhelming number one seed that I've seen in a long time. And maybe it's because of the West is just so, like, so good. But I just, like Mike said, I don't trust them at the end of games, whether it's Jason Tatum trying to take the Kobe hero fall away shot or Joe Mazzulla doing some shit. The only reason that I would pick them to come out of the East, and I'm probably going to pick them to come out of the East, is because Milwaukee doesn't have their shit together. Embiid, I'm still sketchy on how healthy he is. Miami is a walking corpse right now, but who knows? Jimmy Butler might put a perm in his hair and average 37 over the playoffs. So, like, I don't know. But, you know, they're a very good team, 64-18. I cannot deny that. Porzingis has been awesome. Derek White might be my favorite player on the team. Like, he does so much stuff for them on the defensive side of the floor, as well as kind of being like their de facto point guard, even though I didn't know that he was a point guard, but he can do that. I'm going to pick them to go through the East. It's just, if they suffer one injury, if Porzingis gets hurt, the odds go down. If they keep going to Tatum in the clutch when they should really just be going to Jaylen Brown, who I think low-key has had a better season and should be at least second-team NBA, all-NBA, it's just the rest of the conference doesn't have their shit together. But, like, you know, they're fine. But I've seen them have some – like, that those back-to-back losses early or late last month against in Atlanta – Atlanta stinks, and they lost 120 to 118 and then 123 to 122 in overtime. They should smoke those teams. And I get it. It's a long season. These things happen. One loss, fine. Two losses, I don't know. And they lost to Milwaukee last week. Giannis went out early in the first half, and Milwaukee still beat them by, it says they beat by 15. I remember turning that game off because it was like up to 25, and I was like, this is done. So I don't know, man. They should make it to the finals if all goes well, but if they meet one little pebble in the road, they might be in trouble.
Do we think some of those other pieces, Drew Holiday do they need to see? Obviously, you know, defensively, has he slowed down a little bit defensively on the perimeter? Obviously, he's one of the league's premier defenders. He has been for the last little while. How does he have to play? And then with the veteran, Al Horford, what does Horford have to do to kind of, you know, do we think obviously Tatum and Brown have to do their thing, but do some of these guys, the Horford and Holiday, what kind of series do these guys have to have?
Well, I think Holiday is really important to what they do, as he's kind of their orchestrator on defense. He tells everybody where to go, where to be. He may not be as athletic as he once was, but so smart and so tenacious on defense. Still one of the premier one-on-one guys on the perimeter, and is switchable. Can guard guys bigger than him because he's strong.
Yeah.
Horford's kind of a bit part player at this point, but he knows where to be. And him and Porzingis have some good like chemistry on defense. You know that Horford, he's not going to get off the floor, but he can still alter shots, and obviously Kristaps is like 7'4". So, yeah, I think, I mean, on paper there's no weaknesses, but it's more of a show me thing, I guess.
I've seen them play enough to be like, there's just something there that I'm like, I just don't like it. And you know, I think Joe Mazzulla has improved a lot since last year in terms of coaching, but I just. Yeah, I just don't trust them. The only reason that I trust them is if the rest of the conference can't get together. But you know, there's a team in New York that might
I was gonna
be
say
able to...
I can't. Let's stop. I've had enough Celtics. Bing bong, yes. Motherfuckers.
That's what it is.
I am not a Knicks fan, but this is so much fucking fun. Like having the Knicks be good again. I mean, we're all around the same age. You know, like late 30s, early 40s. We grew up watching basketball in the 90s when it was. You know, Pat Riley left the Knicks, go to the Heat. You had Jeff Van Gundy holding on to people's legs. you know, 74-72 score lines at the end of games. And Tom Thibodeau's got that vibe, man. Like, he's got that 90s bulldog mentality, defense. You know, the last game of the season there yesterday on Sunday, all 30 teams played. And, you know, the Knicks could have tanked that game to draw try and draw a more favorable matchup in the first round, whether it be the Pacers or the Magic, to lose that game. But they played the Bulls. They went into overtime. Jalen Brunson scored 40. Dante DiVincenzo's played like 50-something minutes, hitting a bunch of threes, and they won in overtime. It seems like they want either the Sixers or the Heat in the first round. You got to love that. Like, you know, we'll take on all comers mentality. Obviously, Jalen Brunson, we haven't talked much about him so far. Unbelievable glow up, you know, playing second fiddle to Luka in Dallas, and then comes over to New York and, you know, 6 foot nothing, not athletic, but can get any shot he wants in the paint. It's deadly from outside. What a pleasure to watch him play. Just a herky jerky kind of in the lane kind of player. And yeah, the Knicks, man, if they draw the Sixers or the Heat, though, that's going to be some first round series, man. That's going to be an all time first round series.
Jalen Brunson is that, like you said, the YMCA player. He's that dude you see at the Y, you're just like, I got this guy, like, whatever. And then next you know, a game to 11, and he scored 9. And you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Because he can just do what he gets every shot that he wants. He's now shooting 40% from three, you know, and we'll talk about Dallas in the next segment. But, you know, I don't think that they knew what they were giving up when they let him go to New York for, you know, not that much money. They could have absolutely afforded it. I'm pretty sure that he's cheaper than Kyrie. And they're going to have to pay him whenever his next, they're going to have to pay Jalen boy, whatever it is next time. But, you know, Tibbs got these boys playing. If there's one thing that Tibbs is going to do, he's going to have a team that's going to play defense. They're going to play 48 minutes a game. They might fight you at some point. It's like, they're the team I wouldn't want to see them more than Boston.
And he can like wrench performances out of, like, have you seen Deuce McBride the last month? Like, who the fuck is Deuce McBride? He's scoring 20 points a game. Like, what's going on? And Julius Randle, of course, oft injured again this season.
In is he out for the lineup. Season?
So, you know, but I think all New York, judging from New Yorkers on Instagram, they don't seem too bizzed about losing old Julius.
Yeah.
I know.
That shot selection, man.
And he had a, I mean, Julius, what did he, I think he was a 25-10 guy. He was close
to a double dead. In 46 games, he had 24 points, 9.2 rebounds, 5.0 assists. And, you know, the flashes are there, you know, shooting 47.2% from the field. What gets him is the 31.1% three-point shooting on 5.3 attempts. So, you know, he's still going to jack them, whether he's shooting them badly or good or not. So
he's one of those guys whose his counting stats are good, but his advanced stats are terrible.
Yeah, and, like, when you see it, you're like, you know, it could be a good game. He just should be. He just needs to be a little bit more judicious, and I would love to hear the conversations him and Tibbs have had, like, in the locker room. You know, there's been some yelling, some shit's gotten thrown, but you know, he's been hurt, and you know, they might be better without him. So, you know, trade piece for the offseason. Someone will take him.
Well, the Knicks are doing it. It's going to be interesting to see. I think I saw a stat. I think Jalen Brunson had 40. I think he had 40 30-point games this year, if I'm not mistaken, which is absolutely, for, again, a guy his size at the point guard position, is crazy. Crazy, crazy. Yeah. Again, like I said, I don't – if someone out there, maybe they did, who knows basketball better than the three of us, I do not think anyone saw this from Jalen Brunson. Everyone was like, the Knicks overpaid, they got hosed, blah, 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 blah. I don't think anyone expected. I mean, he was, you know, he was a decent guard at Villanova coming out. He did, you know, he was decent in Dallas, but this is just, he's playing out of his goddamn mind. It's crazy.
Maybe Luka was the only one who knew, because he was pissed when they let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And New York Knicks, they're basically Villanova 2.0.
Yeah.
So many Villanova guys.
Yeah.
A lot of Villanova guys. Who else, before we move on to the next series, who else did the Knicks, you know, Brunson obviously is going to do his thing. Julius is out. are going to, who else is going to have to step up for the Knicks for them to kind of really make this push? Because now we're 0-0 playoff time, right?
I think Mitchell Robinson is going to be very important in their defense in the middle. You know, another guy who's been hurt a lot of the season,
yeah,
but is an extremely versatile big man defender that can move his feet, can guard the rim, can switch. So I think he's going to be very important to their playoff chances if they hope to make a deep run, if I'm going to pick one of the other guys.
Isaiah Hartenstein has been good in his stead. You know, I think that, you know, if Mitchell, cause he didn't come back until later in the season. But yeah, like they're going to be tough. And also Isaiah Hartenstein, mixed race. Had what? No idea. Had no, his dad is mixed and his mom is white. So yeah, that's on my,
y'all, like, y'all claiming him.
Oh, fucking right. We'll take him. Hey man, you can always use more defense in the middle, man. Like we'll take him. But yeah, like I think that, you know, they can kind of ease Mitchell back into it, especially if they play, you know, first round, if they get Philly. They're gonna need all the size that they can get, everything. And against Miami as well with Bam.
Everything. They're gonna need everything to go. Yeah. Also, great to know, Neil, that you're on it with all the stats. We are gonna rely on you. We're gonna call you the statistician of this podcast. Pulling out the numbers.
Oh yeah, I've got so many tabs open up on this second screen, bro. Like I got you.
Pulling out the numbers. Okay, so that, I think, so obviously we're going to see the Celtics will play the winner of the 9-10 game. Is that right?
Nah, so the way it works is 7-8, the winner of the 7-8 play-in gets the 7 seed.
That's
so
yes, either
the,
yes, yes, yes.
So either the, and then the loser of that game plays the winner of the 9-10.
Yes.
So we got Bulls-Hawks in the 9-10. They'll play either the Sixers or the Heat for the 8 seed. So it's going to be the Sixers and the Heat. I mean, the Bulls and the Hawks, I don't see either of them upsetting either the Sixers or the Heat. So it looks like it's going to be either Celtics, Sixers, Celtics, Heat, or Knicks, Sixers, Knicks, Heat, all of which are outstanding first-round matchups. And you know what? I could see the Sixers beating either of those teams. They are the hottest team in the NBA right now. Embiid is playing, basically looks back to normal, has scored over 35 points a game in his last couple games of this regular season. So, you know, I might, if in that first round series, I might pick the Sixers over the Knicks or the Celtics.
I'm telling you, you've got, you know, when this is the time, as we all know, regular season's done. We're 0-0 playoff time. We just saw it in college basketball. You know, Vessi, your NC State Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bubbling to make it, caught absolute goddamn fire at the right time. Rolled through the ACC tournament, had that run. We all know that if you are playing at a top level and the Sixers look good, this is Embiid looks in that MVP form. Hard to stop that guy down in the post.
Yep. Hot take number one. I'm taking the Bulls to beat the Heat.
And
go to the I don't know,
some DeMar clutch time.
The Heat just have not, and I listen to a lot of Dan Le Batard. And they have been really down on the Heat because, you know, we're just still waiting for Jimmy. You know, like a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy was like, you know, now's the time to get going. Jimmy hasn't gotten going. And like, yeah, again, I don't know if he's got to get that DJ Quick perm in his hair or whatever, but like, it's not been happening for Jimmy all season. So
he can flip a switch though in the playoffs. He's done that. He can play possum at the end of the regular season.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You know what? I'm taking DeMar. I'm taking DeMar, and I'm taking, you know, next time you record, I might look like an idiot, but yeah, I'm taking the Bulls I'm taking the Sixers are going to obviously make it in. Hawks are just hot garbage, so we don't even talk about them. But yeah, I'm taking the Bulls this weekend over the Heat.
So you got Bulls Celtics in the first round.
I got Bulls Celtics in the first round, and then the Celtics will smack them. But yep. Like, hey man, they get in.
I like it. Okay. Let's look at I want to take a look at this first matchup because I think it's very interesting. The number 3 Bucks, the number 6 Pacers. Who, I'm telling you, man. Quick some stats. You know, the Bucks are coming off. They've lost 4 of the last 5 regular season games. They lost 4 of the 5 versus the Pacers. They are 17-19 in their final 36 coming down the stretch with Doc. Giannis is kind of, you know, with the calf. We'll see what's going on there. Chris Middleton, we'll see how he feels. I don't know, man. This Pacers team, another team too, that have just been really clicking, looking good. What are your thoughts? What do you guys think? Bucks, Sixers, what do you like from both teams? What don't you like? What do you think each team needs to do to get this to lean their way? This is a highlight series for me, though. This is a highlight series.
I think the Pacers, I mean, pre-Tyrese injury, were a different animal, right? And I think most of those, you say, you know, they won 4 or 5. They were kind of their bogey team, to borrow a soccer term, this season for the Bucks. But, you know, Haliburton hasn't looked the same since he came back from that. It was a hammy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doesn't have the same explosiveness. You know, he's not known as like an athletic player per se.
Yeah.
But, you know, his stats are not as good since coming back from injury. I do like the Bucks to go through, although you're right, man. They had the opportunity to lock in that 2 seed and got absolutely crushed by the Magic in the last game of the season. And yeah, coming down the stretch. And the other thing about the Bucks is that, like, they should be a great defensive team. You look at their personnel and they're not, like, they're terrible. Like, I think they're
like real bad.
Like, their overall defensive rating is like around like 20th in the league or something like that. Obviously Giannis is an incredible defensive player, but, yeah, it's going to have to be Giannis, like a lot, like 35 points a game, 13 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game, 3 blocks. Like, it's Giannis going to have to go ham if they want to make a deep run, I think.
And is he coming back? Because they just said today,
right? He's not totally healthy either.
They need him. Like, out of everybody in the league, I think Milwaukee's had like the absolute weirdest season. Like, they were 30-13, got rid of Adrian Griffin. Doc Rivers told him that was a bad idea to fire him. So then they hire him. Doc Rivers has been steadily trying to get fired since he got there, talking about, like, you know, I didn't think it was a good idea in the first place, calling out his team professionalism. Like, what do you do? And also, Doc Rivers, what are we, like, you know?
What is he known for in the playoffs, right?
He won that title in 2008, which he should really
be,
like,
hugging.
A long
time ago, bro.
And he should be hugging the legs of Kevin Garnett for that, because I feel like Kevin Garnett was just in there threatening people, and Tibbs may have been, like, the X's and O's guy. So, you know, he's not a great coach. Dame hasn't looked at all, like, anywhere near Portland Dame, and they didn't even need him to be Portland Dame, but, you know, it hasn't looked great. There's been a lot of, like, you know, 4 for 17 nights and stuff like that. Chris Middleton is a shell of himself. You know, people keep saying that they need to go, like, as good as they went back to pick and roll drop coverage because, you know, it's better for Brook Lopez. How about Brook Lopez might not be that good anymore because he's like 37 years old. Like, yeah, I don't like Indiana a whole lot. Like you said, Tyrese hasn't been the same, you know, since kind of coming back from injury. I do like the addition of Pascal on the team, Pascal Siakam from our beloved Toronto Raptors. He's been doing well, but, you know, I'm looking at the odds now, and if I had to bet, I would probably take, just for value sake, Indiana, because I don't know when Giannis is going to be back, how healthy is he going to be. Maybe this sparks something in Dame where he's like, okay, cool, I'm just going to go back to Portland, Dame, and just start jacking shit.
I think they need it. I mean, again, if they, without, I mean, you know, Giannis and Dame are obviously the brunt of that offense. If Giannis can't get it go, you know, if Giannis doesn't get it going, or if he's hurt, that's, you know, Dame's got to get that shoulder. I don't know what Middleton's injury status is, but after those three, I mean, you look, maybe who's getting points for you? Bobby Portis?
Portis, that's number 4. I love me some Bobby Portis, but
I know, but it's, they're like, they have got to have, I think, like you guys said, Giannis has got to be putting up massive numbers. Dame has got to be doing Dame things. They need to really kind of, you know, stick in defensively. I think, obviously, you know, losing Holiday. Again, they lost Holiday. They picked up Dame. But I think, obviously, you know, Holiday being a better defender than Dame. But I'm telling you, man, offensively, I don't know what the Bucks do if they can, if Giannis and Dame aren't coming out blowing, they could be in trouble. Again, the Indiana team, I don't think is going to go deep, but this is, again, 0-0 playoffs. If you get hot or if things start to go your way, I don't know. I've got the Pacers in this series. Got the Pacers in this series.
Taking the upset.
Big upset.
It's not crazy.
But, yeah, we'll see.
Like you said, outside of Giannis and Dame and Chris the corpse of Chris Middleton, who is scoring points? We're depending on Bobby Portis. It doesn't feel great.
And then lastly, we got Cleveland Orlando. How about this Magic team? One of the stories of the season.
Man, ugly is the series. Truth.
Bancaro playing point forward. Franz Wagner, like, unbelievable season. This team is long and everybody's 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan. They are one of the best defensive teams in the league, but they can't score enough. I feel like against Cleveland, Cleveland just a little bit more offensive, varied ability to the game. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell has previous in the playoffs as a good playoff performer. When in his Utah days, had some incredible series. Obviously, you got Darius Garland playing off him. And then you got Mobley down low. That's going to be a great series, though. I feel like it's going to be a long series.
That's a series I've got. I think going to six, maybe even going to seven. I like this series. Paolo, like Bancaro, man. Again, he looks
good.
He's
for real.
He looks good. I'm gonna put Duke aside because we're not talking college, we're talking NBA. and whatever.
Yes, we all you hate can,
Duke. You know,
we're
you
all can ACC look. Fans, but we're all non-Duke fans.
Yes, so non-Duke
we
fans.
We have true all three of us true hatred for the Dukies, but true about Bancaro is for real.
This yeah. And how he's what 2021?
22 at most. He is 21. He'll be 22 in November.
Who else on the Orlando side? Obviously, Bancaro's gonna get it going. Franz gonna get it going.
Really like Jalen Suggs.
I was gonna say, do they need Suggs and Cole? Cole Anthony? Yeah, Cole Anthony's over there.
Yeah, Cole Anthony's there.
Those guys have to be step up really big, do we think, to make this push happen for this young team?
I think you're right. I think they need a third score. Yeah, and that's the thing. Well, Wagner and Bancaro can get you points.
Yeah.
Suggs, great defender on the perimeter. Yet to really prove it as a consistent scorer, although has come on this season. Really impressed me this season. But I just think that it's going to be tough for them to score enough points, I think. So I think I'd give the slight edge to the wine and gold.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac has also been a good, response. Like, I kind of forgot about him. I'm a Florida State fan, former Florida State player. I feel like he's torn 7 ACLs in the last, 4 years, so we barely got a chance to see him, but he's been healthy now, and, he gives them an absolute lockdown defender that they can put on, they can put him on, Mitchell, they can put him on Evan Mobley. They need someone to score. France can't shoot threes anymore. He went from 36% last year to 28% this year. So, if he can find something kind of there, but
I love watching those two run pick and roll though, him and Bancaro, because they're like the same size and like they both dive to the rim and like it's a unique team. And like there is nobody like them in the league. Like they play a totally unique style. Like they're one of one for sure.
Yeah. I'll go Orlando in 7 just for home court. Cleveland has home court.
Yeah.
You want to know what? I think that's really what it's going to come down to, but I'll probably go. I'm going to stick with Orlando. I'll feel good about it though.
Who do we think is going to be able, from Cleveland's side, who's going to be able to step up and check and check Bankero. Obviously, it's not going to be Jared Allen. Obviously, too slow.
Mobley?
Mobley, you think Mobley's gonna have to do it?
I mean, because they don't have the size on the.
I was gonna say
Mitchell and Garland are so small.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't even know who Cleveland's wings are.
Caris LeVert and
Caris LeVert's too small.
Caris, yeah.
Max Strauss will get destroyed.
Yeah, like, I think Mobley's gonna have to like move his feet on the perimeter, which he can't do.
He can, but that's why I think again Orlando. I mean, obviously, you know, Cleveland. I think offensively we can all say that Cleveland might be better suited to kind of push things forward, especially with Mitchell and Garland in that backcourt. But it's going to be interesting to see some of these matchups. You know, obviously the ball is in Bankero's hands a lot. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, who from Cleveland, what matchups are going to kind of put on him. I can see Mobley maybe running into trouble, but we'll see.
Let's get to the main course, y'all, man. Let's get to the West. I'm sick of this East.
Let's go over to the West. We're gonna jump right in. I think, you know, we all wanted to talk about this so much. This OKC team, where I think, you know, Presti, over the last few years, this team has bulked up on draft picks, made a bunch of choices. I don't think no one thought that they would be here this quick. I think we all saw the pieces around them. They had the picks. They're, you know, bringing in the right personnel. But for a team to, I think, plus 17 wins, youngest team in the league, great rookie with Chet, who also I think Chet played all 82 or 80. You know what I mean?
Played all 82.
You know, I'm gonna turn it over to you guys. What do you guys like about this team? Can this team do it again? Yes, we know regular season. Now we're back to 0-0. It's playoff time. Can this team continue to do what they did all season with their lack of playoff experience? Can they come out and can they get things done?
I think it's too soon. I think they'll probably win the first series. They could get the Warriors in the first round, who are kind of a shell of themselves. Steph is going to have to go bananas, I think, for them to have any shot there. So I think the first round they'll be fine. But there's, as you said, so young. You know, Shea's going to score 35. I mean, he's the easiest 30-point scorer.
Gets what he wants.
He just, you know, he doesn't move fast, but he gets where he wants, gets to his spots. So good passing out of the double team. We were bigging up Jalen Williams earlier. What a breakout season for him.
Yeah.
Chet, I mean, if it wasn't for Wemby, this would be one of the great rookie seasons of all time.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Chet.
Right? I mean, we didn't even talk about Rookie of the Year because it's such a foregone conclusion with Wembanyama. Yeah. But Chet, just like unbelievable player, you know, got handles on the outside, great instincts on the inside on defense, can switch, great shooter, you know, like what a great all around pleasure to watch, you know? I love this team, you know, a great, great team to watch, but, I think beyond the first round, I think once they start running in, when the game starts slowing down and they start running into some of those teams with a little more experience, I think it could be a second or possibly conference finals exit, but I don't see them going all the way. I don't know about you, Neil.
So it depends on who they get. So play-ins are Lakers and Pelicans, Warriors and Kings. I think the Lakers are the best of those four teams, and they're probably going to end up in 17 going to Denver. However, if the Lakers play OKC, I can see the Lakers beating them.
Oh, yeah.
Because OKC, they're not, you know, Chet is, you know, 7'2" or whatever he is, but he's still pretty thin. They're a pretty small team. And there's one thing that, like, NBA podcasts have taught me over the last, like, couple months. Oklahoma not moving one of those 8,000 draft picks for some size was wild. And if they get a team, like, you know, who's guarding Anthony Davis on that team?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
getting Gordon Hayward at the dreadlock, like, I was pulling my hair out. Like, Really? Busted ass Gordon Hayward? That was the move?
I forgot he was in the league when they and he's basically just an expiring. And I'm like, why don't you? And maybe that's the timeline that Presti wants. Maybe Presti is like, you want to what? We'll just, you got number one. I'm sure no one thought that they were going to do this season. But them, you know, I think that they can go. It depends on who it is. Like the Warriors, like you said, a shell of themselves. But I can also see the Warriors pulling out like one more, like, you know, one last stand before, you know, Clay ends up going off and gets money from someone, or actually, no, Draymond and Steph are staying. But yeah, I can see them pulling off one more stand. Like, I'm one of those proponents of you have to lose before you win, and you need the battle scars and all that, all those cliches that you're going to hear trotted out over the next couple weeks. They've got a fabulously talented team, no question about it, but I think they just need a little bit more experience because the playoffs are a completely different story than the regular season.
What was more surprising maybe for the OKC? Was it the way that SGA, was it his ascendance, or was it the way Chet played? Obviously, Chet missed all of last year. I was a person with Chet coming out of college. Again, you know, maybe my mind is still sometimes stuck on, did he have this size? But again, we're not in the 90s again. We're not a post-up game. We're spreading the floor. He can obviously shoot the ball. He can handle. Was Chet a surprise this year or how well he played? Or were we waiting to see because we didn't really get a chance to see him, what he did his actual rookie year? Or was SGA kind of like, oh, my God. We knew he was going to be good, but not this good.
I think the more surprising thing is the another leap for SGA. I mean, it's almost like every year he's been in the league, he's gotten better and better. And a notorious worker in the offseason. Apparently, he's got like a team of coaches. He does all these like he like works out in bare feet so that he can stop on a dime and do those like, you know, change of direction in the lane that he's
Christ, what are they teaching them in Hamilton? Good Lord.
Yeah, man. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think SGA is the more surprising. I mean, Chet, we knew. I mean, this guy was a stud, like, you know, coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Gonzaga. I even remember, like, before he had his season-ending injury, like, remember Summer League in his first year? Like, he was absolutely roasting Summer League with like 50-point games and shit. So I don't think it's that much a surprise that Chet is just awesome, because it's like he's a there's not many guys like him. Like, he's 7'2" with a handle and can shoot. So that's pretty unique. Yeah. So I would say SGA a little bit more surprising. Although you can see it coming too.
Yeah. So I'll go Chet, and I would say, because I think I just, like you said, I forgot how good he was because he had the year off. Yeah. And quite frankly, they didn't really use him all that well at Gonzaga because, like, I just don't think Mark Few was a good coach. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. that's a whole nother story. But, you know, he was good from, you know, the first 2 months of the season. He was hands down the rookie of the year. Like, he was good from jump until Wemby kind of took it the last half of the season. You know, Shea is actually down in points this year, but Shea has gotten better in field goal percentage. He went up from 51 to 53. He's better in three-point percentage, and he's still only shooting 35%. If he can ever get to, like, 37, 38 from three, we're in trouble. And, yeah, all of his other stats has gone up because Chet's been as good as he is. Jalen Williams made the leap that he did. So Shea doesn't have to score. Like, Shea could score 37 points a game if he wanted to, but he doesn't have to anymore. So I'll go Chet because I didn't think that he was going to be this good right away. But I think the key to it all is Jalen Williams and, you know, the leap that he made. He went from 14 points a year to 19 in his second season, shooting 30, went from 36% from three to 43% from three, and 52% field goals to 54. So he's really the leap. And low-key,
and can guard four positions. Like, unbelievable defender.
And the NBA kind of putting that Josh Giddey shit under the rug, but we'll talk about that another day.
I like it. Okay. Let's, the number two seed, We'll talk about them briefly before we go into that first 3-6 matchup. Obviously, the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets, the best player in the league. I think we can probably all say with still, I don't even understand. This man is so goddamn slow and unathletic, but he makes it. It's just wild, man. It's almost he makes the right decision all the time.
Yeah.
If you just showed a random person a picture of Jokic and was like, this is the best player in the NBA right now, they'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
100%.
Like, what is that? That doesn't, what do you mean? And then you watch him and it's almost like a ballet. Like he gets the ball in the high post and everyone just knows where to go. He knows where they're going to go before they do.
What do you do if you're the defense, right? Like, what do you do? Because if you send a double, you're fucked. He's finding wherever your double came from, he's hitting that guy immediately. Like, doesn't matter where he is on the court. If you play single coverage, he's backing you down and hitting a floater. He doesn't even have to get to the rim. Like, his floater game is he's like Jalen Brunson floater game, but he's 7'1".
Like, and he hits 36% of those, like, high arching the balls back there like a fucking slingshot.
Fucking Denzel Washington, he got game shot.
Oh, man. It's the passing that opens everything up because, you know, some teams that are like, okay, well, cool, we're just going to let you get your 40 or whatever. And he still finds a way to, like, cool, I'll hit you with the 42 points, but I'm going to still get my 8 assists. And, you know, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. The big thing with Denver is Jamal Murray, as always, is Jamal Murray healthy? Can he play for 2 months in a row?
I think Denver, I think OKC will probably get either the Kings or the Warriors. The Pelicans, like, man, Brandon Ingram just coming back. They got hosed by the Lakers in the last game of the season when – they could have avoided the play-in. Like, if the Pelicans beat the Lakers yesterday, they would have been the 5 seed, right?
Choked. The in-season tournament too. The Lakers, like, they were in the semifinals, and the Lakers beat them by like 40.
Yeah. So I think the Pelicans are going to lose that play-in to the Lakers, and then I think the Kings. I actually like the Kings to beat the Warriors, and I think the Kings are going to beat the Pelicans. So I think it's going to be OKC Kings.
OKC Kings and then Lakers.
And then Lakers Nuggets. Lakers Nuggets. And Lakers Nuggets, man, like, so we got either Celtics Heat or Celtics Sixers or Knicks with those two teams in the first round. And then the West, you're probably going to get Nuggets Lakers in the first round, which is going to be a fantastic series because, man, how is LeBron? I always say this. LeBron is almost exactly the same age as me. He's like a month and a half older than me. And to see him still do this just makes me feel so good and so young that he can still be. I mean, that last game of the season, he was unbelievable. And he's a little more ground bound now. Like, he's not a high flyer like he used to be. He turns on the Jets maybe like once a game. He's got that conserve your energy game. But man, that team is good on defense. Anthony Davis is a monster. Austin Reeves came back down to earth a little bit this year after last, but still a good
D'Angelo Russell's been good lately, and he's trash most of the time. But like,
I think Lakers Nuggets gonna be awesome.
Yeah, well, and the Lakers beat them, the Nuggets swept them last year in the West Finals. But you know, and I know that it was a sweep. I get it, but like all of the games were pretty close. Like they didn't blow them out or anything. So, you know, Lakers again, like if you just give LeBron is going to LeBron's going to figure it out. Also, shout out Ruben, I know you've been watching that Mind the Game pod with LeBron and JJ Redick. And like LeBron is a fucking superhuman or a supercomputer when it comes to basketball. Like he can reference plays and, you know, they might be showing him the play. I've seen him do this before, like where he's just like, oh yeah, about this play. And I was sitting in the corner and someone set a flare screen for me and came around the corner. Like his processing speed is so good. Like he just, and he gets frustrated with people when it's like, why can't you do what I do? And like, well, because you're you, motherfucker. Of course we can't do what you do, but he'll figure it out. You know, ultimately, I think the Nuggets would win this series. Like, win it in, I think if they win it in five.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's not like LeBron isn't going to, you know, what he's done this regular season, 25.7 points, 8.3 assists, 7.3 rebounds. Sure, he doesn't play like a defense anymore, but he's 39 years old. I would have stopped playing defense 3 years ago if I were him.
And shooting it from three. Like he's shooting like 40% from three.
He's shooting 41%, 54, 41, 75.
Unbelievable splits. Yeah.
That's wild.
Like he learned how to shoot like the last 5 years of his career. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's doing it. Yeah, I think for me, I know you talked about Jamal Murray for Denver. I think Michael Porter Jr. really has to kind of step. I mean, his overall game, he's big, he's long, he can shoot, he can handle, he can take the ball to the rim. I think if he gets a good start to this playoff series, Joker's going to do what he's doing. Who else is over there? Is it Reggie Jackson?
Reggie's over there.
But I think for me, if Porter Jr. can do his thing, and if he can, you know, 17, 18, and do what he does, you know, with his big size on the glass, I really like this. I like this Denver team. I really like Michael Porter Jr.
I think Porter Jr. should be better than he is, right? You look at the skill set, it's like
size too.
Yeah, like he looks like an all-star, but just never – maybe not the mental game there, but like – and obviously, I think we reference Aaron Gordon. Like,
yep.
I love Aaron Gordon for this team. He just like fits so well with what they do. As I said, like their roles are so well-defined around Joker. You know, Jamal Murray running the pick and rolls and playing the last 5 minutes, taking the clutch shots. You know, Jamal Murray's so good in the clutch. And then Aaron Gordon, just those back cuts and Jokic finding him. And plus, unbelievable defender, Aaron Gordon, too. He's gotten so much better. Like, in his Orlando days, you know, good one-on-one defender, but, like, lost. Totally lost.
On team help. Yeah, yep.
But now, like, he's figured out, like, where to be on the court and stuff. So, like, yeah, I'm not to jump the gun here, but, like, I have them repeating as champions. Like, I don't see anybody beating them.
I didn't, but a little bit of stuff down the stretch has kind of made me a little worried. Like if I like gun to my head, I'd probably pick them again, but I just didn't like some of the stuff that I saw down the stretch. And I know it's like one of those, like just wait till the playoffs and like they can absolutely do it. But yeah, Michael Porter Jr. Is also going to have, they're also going to have the occasional, like give me 33 on like, you know, 15 of 22 shooting or something. It's in there, but like they can't depend. I don't know if they can depend on Jamal Murray. He got through one postseason and won them a championship. Can he get through two?
Right.
I don't know.
We are gonna see. Nuggets. Man, this series is gonna be interesting. The 3-6. This is the 3-6. The Wolves.
Fantastic.
Wolves, Suns. This has just got, holy shit, superstar. I mean, Wolves, we've got Ant, we've got Towns, we've got Gobert, Conley, who's been there forever. The Suns, obviously, with that three-headed monster of Durant, Beals, and Booker. Let's start with let's go with the lower seed first. Let's start with the Suns.
Well, last we like game of the season, they played yesterday, and Minnesota could have been the 2 seed, right? They could have locked down the 2. Bradley Beal went for 36.
Yeah.
And they fucking crushed the Timberwolves. So they got the momentum coming into the series. Now, this is your classic offense versus defense matchup, right? You got the supersized Minnesota Timberwolves, so big at every position. You got Anthony Edwards bringing the ball up, who's like 6'4", 230, of just like beef. Yeah. And can jump out the gym. You said Naz Reid so impressive this year, like kid shooting corner threes and great playing off Gobert in the post. Obviously nobody's a fan of Karl Anthony Towns because it's Karl Anthony Towns, and like this guy should be like a top five player in the league, but just like has never, just doesn't have it. There's just something's missing with this guy. And of course,
was he not good at defense at Kentucky? I remember him being good at defense at Kentucky, and then he got to the league and he was just like, fuck defense, and just I'm done with that.
So like it's a fascinating series. I honestly do not know who to pick in this series because obviously Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant. Devin Booker, so good in the clutch. Bradley Beal, if his knees don't pop out of his sockets. So like on offense, and then the number one 3-point shooter in the league in Grayson Allen. So they can fill it up. So. But obviously, you know, the cliches apply, and the pace slows down in the playoffs, and the Timberwolves theoretically, stylistically, should translate well that way. And how much fun is Anthony Edwards? I mean, so much personality. His game's taken another step leap this year. Decision making still maybe not quite to the level it could get, but it's gotten much, much better. He's making the right reads and the right passes much better than he did last season. I think I do like Minnesota in a long series. What about you?
I'll give Anthony Edwards a little bit of a pass on the decision making, because especially when Towns was out, when he's got the ball and it's like, do I pass to Gobert? Do I pass it to Naz Reid? Do I pass it to Mike Conley? You want to know what? Fuck it. I'll just do it myself. So I'll give you that. For quick question, we're gonna actually play this a lot while we're doing this pod. Who do the odds favor? Who do you think the odds favor?
Oh, that's a real tough one. I would say just maybe based on Vegas knowing how the bettors are gonna bet, and with the known quantities in Phoenix, I would say maybe just a very slight edge to the Suns.
Rube?
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yep, Suns minus 120, Minnesota even odds, which is kind of disrespectful to Minnesota, but I get it. Like, you know, we've seen Kevin Durant, you know, in the playoffs, you know, two-time MVP, finals MVP, you know, top 20 player of all time. I put him top 15, but depends on who you talk to. Hasn't been great this year in terms of his clutch stats. His clutch stats have been pretty bad this year. I think that's more so Devin Booker kind of takes a lot of those shots. I just don't see how their defense is going to hold on. Like, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, whatever, we just shat on him, but he is a very good offensive player. Ants might average 35, 36, because I think that he has that psycho Jordan Kobe mentality where he's like,
He ain't scared.
I don't care if Devin Booker's on here. I don't care if Kevin Durant. I'm the best player on the floor. Like, if they play the Lakers, they're going to be like, oh, sweet, LeBron's my peer. I can play with him. Like, he thinks he's the best player on the floor every time that he goes out there. So I don't like Minnesota, but I think that they're better equipped for to win in six, because I just can't see Phoenix being able to stop anything that they do offensively. You know, Yusuf Nurkic is their best defensive player, and I mean,
he stinks.
Yeah.
he's not good at defense. He's just big.
And that's just basically it. So actually, KD's probably been their best defensive player this year.
Fantastic defender.
He's been pretty good. He showed a lot of that when he was at Golden State too. You know, one of the many times that Draymond was suspended, and he'd had to play the five, and you know, he can do it. It's just you're better served having him not do it so he can, you know, score 33 points a game. You know, I think, and you know, and they're not that deep either. Like outside of Eric Gordon is probably their sixth best player. Like after that, you've got, you know.
Speaking of players, of hated players.
Rube's and he's hurt right now too.
Eric Gordon.
I think I think he's hurt too. But
oh, is he?
I think he might be hurt, but that's another thing. I mean, the Suns also, if I'm not mistaken, and our statistician Neil probably maybe can look this up. The Suns turn the ball over quite a bit, if I do remember.
Okay.
I don't know how well, you know, Minnesota is going to, you know, transition wise, but I think, you know, I think Michael Conley from the Wolves. He's not going to fill the basket up. He's not going to give you 30. But I think in terms of at least you know, making sure offensively, not always because, you know, Ant, the ball's in Ant's hands a lot, but I think Conley's important for that Timberwolves team. Obviously he's a vet.
Steadying presence.
Takes care of the ball well.
Ant's kind of a knucklehead and he can cool it down, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So
you are correct. Phoenix is ranked in the bottom third of the league. There are, 30 teams in the league? So they're 24th in turnovers. However, in differential, they are fourth best in the league. So third best in the league. So they force a lot of turnovers.
Okay.
KD great at jumping passing lanes.
Yes,
very true. Like I don't care about that. I've watched them with my own eyes. They're not a good defensive team. Like they're not. But yeah, you're right. KD is good good for that.
Yeah, steals are not a good indicator of a good defense. It means you gamble too much.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox led the league in steals this year, and no one's saying that he's the modern day Joe Dumars or any bullshit like that.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Conley has been a very good steadying influence to be like, okay, adults, or all right, kids, give the adult in the room the ball, and I'll make sure everybody needs to go to, which is exactly what Phoenix needs, because they've got Devin Booker as the quote-unquote lead guard, when he should just be jacking it. Everyone, like, come off screens, get the ball in the pocket, and jack it up, but he's got to deal with, like, making sure everybody gets theirs as well, and I don't think that's a good way to do things.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be a great matchup. I'm with Mike. I want to lean with the Suns because I'm like all that offensive firepower, but I don't know. This is gonna be a tough one. This is gonna be a tough one to call. It's gonna see. I don't know. I think, like Mike said, they got smacked last game of the season. Momentum could play, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see real soon.
And the last one on the docket is a tasty one.
Clips Mavericks. Clips Mavericks.
A rematch. They got previous. Luka has had some of his great playoff performances in previous seasons against the Clippers. Obviously, the story with the Clippers this year, getting James Harden, Kawhi, playing when he wants, but looks super steady when he does play. But man, like, the Mavericks are clicking right now. Like, Kyrie has had the most drama-free season in the history of Kyrie, just playing off of Luka so effectively. And Luka's just an insane, 34-9-9 this year or something like that. Unstoppable. Shouts to James Harden for, they had that one incredible stretch, right, when they were the best team in the league and everything was clicking. Paul George, very reliable. But it's the Clippers in the playoffs. I don't trust them. And I have Dallas winning this series and kind of easily, maybe.
I think you said it. Dallas is playing, and it comes down we keep talking about the last 2 weeks, these last 7 to 10 games of the season. Dallas is playing incredible. Obviously, Luka, obviously Kyrie, Tim Hardaway. They've got they've got obviously the stars, the 1-2 package of Luka and Kyrie. Kyrie's the best finisher, I think, in the league. He is the best finisher in the league. This team, I think, is peaking at the right time. I do think the Clippers, all the pieces I think they've found, Russ, I think Russ is at a place where his minutes are down, but I think he's found his role. He's accepted,
right?
The role.
For not being Russ, who saw this coming?
I thought this was going to go terribly. I thought that them putting Russ on the bench, I thought it was going to start with him fucking fighting Ty Lue with no shirts on in the parking lot of the arena, and then he was just going to go on like a tour of just cursing everybody out. And turns out, and now I just saw he was just like, I'm the best six man in the league. No one's better than me coming off the bench. And like, yes, like that's, and he's bringing that starter energy to the, he does what Mike and I, our favorite player, Allen Iverson, he's doing what we wish Allen would have done at the end of his career, instead of saying that he would still, you know, be what he wasn't. But he's brought that energy to the, like, he might be a better six man than Norm Powell. And Norm Powell's, like, a pretty good six man.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just saying coming in, like, the Clippers on paper are a better team than Dallas. If you go man for man down the roster, like, they're deeper, right? As you said, Norm Powell, PG3, Kawhi, Russ, Harden. But Dallas has Luka and Kyrie. Like, Dallas is going to win this series.
Yeah.
The Clippers are going to choke. It's Harden in the playoffs. Like, I cannot see this being, I mean, I don't even know if it'll be that competitive. What's going to have to happen for this to be a long series is, I think Kawhi is going to have to go crazy.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's the only way.
I'm going to take the ball for a minute and call point guard, be the point guard, and I'm going to clear out this ISO for Ruben. James Harden, 1 minute, go.
Honestly, you know what? I liked what James is doing over there, man.
See, what?
I am normally like, but I think, again, it's the role shift. I think
you can't deny it. Yeah.
I think some of these guys, you know, James doesn't have to go out and get 40. Does he still do some crazy, stupid shit? Yes. Can he still not play defense? Not really. But I don't want to say, is he a better defender? I don't know, man. I am like not a huge Harden fan, but Harden, I think the Clippers, I think like Mike said, if Kawhi's going to have to play out of his mind, but man, they've got on paper, they've got the talent. And if Kawhi does his thing and Paul and Russ and James, I mean, again, but they're all going to have to, I think, play at that level very, very high for over the series. And I just don't know if they can like Mike was saying earlier, I don't know if I think Luka and Kyrie are just so dynamic, so much trouble. And the Clippers playoff record over the last few years is terrible. But we'll see. But James, man, James, I know his points are down, but he's rebounding. He's still facilitating the ball. I don't know.
Paul George has been awesome this year.
Paul's been great.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He's played 74 games. I heard somewhere, I think it was on the Simmons pod, it was new today, but he's played the most minutes that he's played in 6 years. And, you know, I think naturally he's the most talented player out of all the players that they have. It's just been injuries that have held him up. Kawhi is Kawhi. You know, we've seen him. You know, he won the Raptors that title in 2019, and, you know, Harden, whatever. I don't care. Luka's going to go for 38 a game. Kyrie's going to go for 32 a game. You're going to have one game where Tim Hardaway goes for 37 and makes like 8 threes. Like, you know, I like Derek Lively. I like that Gafford kid. You know, Derek Jones Jr. has found a place on this team. Everybody knows it's Luka, and that goes for Kyrie too. Everybody, like, this is Luka's team, and everybody else has to fit out around them. Like, you know, Kyrie hasn't said anything stupid this year, so that's a plus. I'll probably go Dallas just because, you know, they've been awesome the last couple of years. And, I think Luka's, what, third best player in the league at worst?
I mean, I have him number two. I think it's a conversation between him and, I mean, Giannis had kind of a down year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's between those two, and Shea's coming up the outside too. So
yeah,
Jokic's the clear one, but yeah, I think in my MVP voting, you know, as we're saying at the top of the show, like, I got Luka number two. And so, yeah.
And it's an easy number two too.
And he's improved every year somehow. Like, he had a high ceiling when he came in the league. Cause he'd been playing EuroLeague for Real Madrid for like 5 years already when he was a rookie. But like, his decision making is better, his tough shot making is better, his passing out of the double team is better. He's developed better chemistry with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has learned how to play. I mean, obviously he had previous with LeBron playing with kind of a heliocentric player in Cleveland, so he has the like DNA to know how to do that. Even if he doesn't want to, but he has done it. So like, give the man a hand. So yeah, I think Dallas is coming out of this series.
It's gonna be. I think this is gonna be the best series of the. I think that, to me, this is the most intriguing series of the first round for either conference.
Yeah, should be great.
If for some reason with Dallas, I really don't see this happening, but I'm just being hypothetical. If Luka gets it done, if Kyrie is not, maybe Kyrie, because again, I think, 60% of this team's points is Luka and Kyrie. Probably I'm going to, without looking at any stats, I'm going to probably assume that Timmy is probably the third option. If Kyrie, if Luka don't get it going, what obviously Tim's going to have to step up. Who else on Dallas is going to have to step up their game in the playoffs? Even with Luka and Kyrie doing their thing, who else on this Dallas team is going to have to possibly step up and either, do a little bit more on the offensive end or the defensive end?
I think the first round, if and when they get past the first round, I think that next matchup is going to be tough just because, as you said, the depth is a problem, the scoring depth.
Yeah.
And they're, not a great defensive team, much improved, Luka is a bad defender, but he's not as bad as he has been in previous years. So, third score, I guess it's Tim Hardaway.
It's Tim Hardaway.
Which does not engender confidence from me as a third scorer.
Yeah.
Streaky, right? Like, as you said, can like go for 30, but it goes for 30 like once every 20 games,
next game is going to be he's going to score 8 points on one for fucking 13.
Yeah. So I think Dallas will handle the Clippers in a close, hard fought long series. But I think once they get into that next round, whether it be, OKC, Denver, however the chips fall with the matchups, they're not winning more than one round, I don't think. PJ Washington, interesting game, groundbound, big guy, decent shooter, good defender, jack of all trades type, but like, I don't know how much of a difference he's making.
Yeah,
deeper in the playoffs. No. I think maybe one. If Dallas do go deep, if they make a run, it's gonna have to be like 40 a game from Luka.
Yeah. If the Clippers exit the first round, what happens to that team?
Blow it up.
They're getting older, obviously. Kawhi, Paul, Harden, Russ, all getting older. If they can't get it done, I don't want to say, if this is their window, maybe another year, but if they don't get it done this year, what happens with the Clippers?
Well, they can't even blow it up because, they've got, I guess they can trade people, but they still got PG on the hook for 45, PG and Kawhi are both making 45 mil next year.
Oh.
James Harden has 35, coming to him that he's absolutely going to pick up a player option. Norman Powell's probably Norman Powell. Like, I don't know. It's gonna be hard to blow that team up. Like, I guess. And also too, Ballmer is. They've got a new arena coming up, so Ballmer's not gonna blow up this team and then be like, okay, here's this new arena. They're just gonna run it back. Maybe try to flip Russ and maybe some picks. But I don't even know if they have any. I'm assuming their pick situation isn't great.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think this is, their window is, I don't know. Their window is this year, or I don't want to say next, because I don't think next year they're going to get it done. They got to make a run this year, or I don't think they're going to win the title unless something happens and three of those guys play out of the world all NBA for their whole series. So I like this matchup. I like Dallas. But I'm going to be interested to see if the Clippers can gel. They can maybe get to the conference finals, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So
So what do we think? Let's wrap it up. What do you think? Let's end it with finals matchup. What do we got? What do we got in the finals? And what do we got for games? And who's taking it? That's a good way to wrap, eh?
That's a good way to. I mean, finals. Again, I am. It's. I just do not think anyone can hang with Denver. Just especially now, again, playoffs, all the things that we always say, you know, been there before, all that stuff. They're so good. Joker is so good. Even if their other guys are playing at half of their level, I'm hard pressed to see Denver losing. Out of the East, God, I don't, as much as I absolutely hate the Celtics, I think it's the Sixers. The Sixers or the Celtics coming out of the East. And I'm not a huge Sixers fan, but Embiid is just, I don't even know, man. It's when he's playing at the level he's playing at, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know. You can't do nothing with him. I can't see no one in the East can do anything with Embiid. So I've got, let's call it for me, Denver. I'm going to go Denver Sixers is what I'm going to go with for finals.
Jesus.
What do you got, Neil?
I've got to go with Denver. I don't feel good about it. I guess my number two team would probably be, I want to say Minnesota, but I'd probably put Dallas above Minnesota just because they've got two players who can average 35 to 40 for a series if they need to. So, but I'm going to go Denver and I'm going to go Knicks.
All right.
Depending on if Giannis comes back healthy, then I'm putting Milwaukee above them. I'm going to hate myself when Boston's in the final. But I'm going to go the Knicks.
Yep. I am taking Boston to get out of the East. I hate it. I'm going with my mind over my heart. I just think they got too much. They're too well-rounded. If you look at them compared to any other roster in the East, it's not really close as far as how many, you know, difference makers they have. And I got Denver coming out of the West. Denver in six, because Boston will have home court in the finals, which means game six is a mile high. So I got Denver winning game six at home to win the title and repeat.
Denver can absolutely win a couple games in Boston. I can see Jokic putting up a 45-17-9 in Boston.
Yeah.
And then quickly to end, I want to say I know it's tough to do any sleepers. And by sleepers, I mean, what's a team that we think is going to get out of the first round that maybe a lot of people aren't picking, or a lot of people aren't expecting? Any sleeper picks from you guys where you're like, you know what, I think this team can get it done against this squad?
If I was going to go like a shocker in the first round, I could see Orlando
making
a deep run.
Yep.
Because they're built, you know, they're young, but they're built for playoff style basketball.
Yep.
So if they can get past Cleveland, that would mean that they would have Boston in the second round.
Yeah.
Boston's a bad matchup for them. Orlando's a bad matchup for Boston.
Yeah.
With all that length.
Yeah. Exactly.
They got guys who can guard the wings, right? And that's where Boston hurts you is Tatum and Brown. And they got, Jonathan Isaac and all those great wing defenders. Markel Fultz, who they can throw at them. So if I was going to do sleeper pick, I would say Orlando.
I like it. Like it.
I'm gonna go whoever if the Thunder get the Lakers or the Warriors, I'm gonna take the Thunder being eliminated.
Okay.
I just don't know. You need to lose before you win, and I can see both of those experienced teams just being like for one series, they'll probably get smoked in the next series. But I just don't think that Oklahoma City will be able to draw from their reserves to beat experienced teams like that. And they can probably beat the Kings can probably beat them. I'm not the Pelicans. I don't know, depending on what Zion looks like.
I love it. Well, that's the first preview. We'll jump back in. I don't know if we're going to come back and maybe do it halfway, midway through round one. I don't know. We'll be back before the end of round one to talk about some of these games, or we'll figure out how the hell we're going
to
do this.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk some X's and O's. So, stay tuned, everybody. And next time we'll have some on-court stuff to go through, some game stuff, action to go through. And maybe mid first round and first round. We'll be back on Run R&V.
You got it. Vess and Neil, thank you so much, homies. So glad and love to talk ball. We got
group chat come to life.
Group chat come to life, and these play-in starts tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
It's here. NBA playoff time. Best time of the year.
Yeah, let's get it.
Thanks, homies. Take care. Peace out.
Peace.